Dilanggasana virya and your parents like mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Bodhisattva and all the worthy ones. Then after that we will start our traditional Theravada Puja. Your two friends, they are familiar with the Dhamma. Okay, then easy. We will do the usual Namo Tassa three times. Okay. Yeah, we welcome them. What are their names? Henry and? Oh, another N. Second N. Henry and Anna. Never mind, we get to know them later. Okay, compose your mind, develop the faith, sadha and virya, then we pay respect mindfully. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammā sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammā sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammā sambuddhassa. Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Dutiyampi Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Dutiyampi Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Dutiyampi Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Tatiyampi Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Tatiyampi Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Tatiyampi Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Pānātipātā Vairamani Sikkhāpadaṃ samādiyāmi, Adina dana veramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Kamesu micchacara veramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Musavada veramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Suramiraya majapamadatana Veramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva and all the worthy ones. Just relax yourself, huh? Very good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma, huh? Maintain some form of attention, So, our first session is meditation, We will do about 40 to 45 minutes of meditation, So, for those who already know how to meditate, You can straight away go into the meditation, For the two song's friend, I think, Henry and the wife, I will give you some instruction. You look at the whiteboard. The four support for meditation, that one is very useful. The first support is relax. Relax body and mind. For you to develop the meditation, body and mind must harmonize and they must be in a state of complete relax. Relax means no stress, no negativity or no problem. That's why you can just allow it to be relaxed. The mind that has problem will have stress because of your attachment, your craving, your clinging, your grasping, your holding on to something while you are living your daily life. So when you have this, what they call attachment or craving, your mind is not relaxed. And because of that, it will have stress. That's why all of your career stress, life condition type of stress, like health problem, relationship problem, or all those life related problems, they will also create stress. So when there is stress, you cannot meditate, because this mind will have hindrance inside there. And one of the major hindrances is from this stress, it will arise the restlessness of mind. The mind becomes restless because you have problem. You have fear, worry, anxiety. So that's the reason why you cannot meditate. The mind is not peaceful because of the mental hindrance. For those who are familiar with the Buddhist teaching, they will understand the five mental hindrances are the cause of the lack of peace. So the five mental hindrances are sensual desire, ill will, sloth and torpor, restlessness of mind, and doubt. So in order to understand meditation, you have to understand if you don't cultivate the opposite five to overcome the hindrance, the five spiritual faculties of Sadha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi and Panya, or in English is translated as confident of faith in the Buddha and his teaching, and the spiritual zeal. Virya is spiritual zeal, or tenacity to walk this way. The third one is Sati, mindfulness. Fourth one is Samadhi, collectedness of mind, unwearying mind. Then the fifth spiritual faculty is wisdom. This spiritual faculty, they are very, very important for you to develop the understanding of the spiritual teaching as taught by Lord Buddha. So that's why we cultivate puja to develop them. Then we develop meditation to stabilize them. So what I will share with you is to give you some instruction to train your mind so that this spiritual faculty will be strengthened. When you do your puja, you develop your faith. The faith will lead to the spiritual zeal, virya. Faith can be developed through contemplation or reflection into who the Buddha is, how special he is, and how wonderful his teaching is. The Buddha is a fully enlightened one, not only enlightened, complete in enlightenment. You can say he is the wisest and the most virtuous living being ever to be born during his time. And he is the teacher of man and God. And the other thing is the teaching can actually transform living being. It can bring about enlightenment, freedom from suffering, stress, lead to the noble life, peaceful life. A noble life of a lot of understanding, leading to all the important wisdom needed for you to understand life and to live the holy life. So because of that, your faith will be very strong. So Sadha, Virya, develop. Then in order to cultivate Sati, mindfulness, you can do it through the bowing. The bowing is with the faith, Sadha and Virya, you pay respect mindfully, body and mind as one when you bow without thought. For Sati is awareness before the knowing, just aware, body and mind as one. Then after that, when you come to the formal meditation, you train this mind again to develop this Sati or mindfulness. Initially for most people, because of your mental hindrance, because you don't have the spiritual faculty. This mental hindrance will make you very restless, heedless. You think a lot, you cannot meditate, you cannot focus, you cannot concentrate, you cannot be peaceful while you sit. So what I will teach you is a skillful means. We call it the mind sweeping method. We combine with loving kindness metta to help you reverse all this heedless thinking so that your mind can settle down and develop the peace within. Then from there, I will teach you how to train this mind further to stabilize the peace, the calmness, the mindfulness that you have developed through the mind sweeping method. Okay, now you listen. You just make sure you got a stable posture. You can sit on the floor, you sit. If you cannot, you can sit on a chair or a couch. Then just make sure your body and mind is relaxed. Then check your backbone. Make sure it's straight. Then just relax body and mind, silence everything. Then feel, don't think, feel. Feel your forehead. If there's any tension, any tightness or any stress within, you just silently relax into it. Every strand of the forehead muscle, relax, relax and relax. Feel it soothingly relax. Then you move your attention down to your eye muscle. Do the same, feel, relax every part of it. Then your facial muscle, feel, relax every part of it. Then in order to help you relax further, deeper, you visualize yourself facing a mirror, radiating a radiant smile. When you can smile, there is joy. When there is joy, your body and mind naturally relax. Then after that, you can radiate inner well-being to yourself. You can recite as follows. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. Feel the well-being and happiness within you. Then you can continue to recite. May this body and mind of mine to be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. Free from all harm and danger. May its mind state to be without enmity, without ill will and untrouble. May it keep itself happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within our hearts. Then you can radiate this same metta to all beings within this vicinity. May all beings within this vicinity, known and unknown, seen and unseen, and all Dharma friends, and all your loved ones, may they all to be well and happy, free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May their mind states to be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled, and may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then after that you can read it to all beings. May all beings within the vicinity of Putrajaya, Selangor, Malaysia, Southeast Asia, Asia, then Mother Earth, planet Earth, then our solar system, our galaxy and the whole universe. May they all to be well and happy, free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May their mind states to be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled, and may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then you can come back to your facial muscle. Relax every part. Feel relaxed, silent. Then you move your attention now to your throat, your neck, your shoulder, hand. Relax every part. Then back to shoulder. Then you move your awareness or attention to your heart, your chest area. You just silence everything and feel. Don't think, just feel. If you can detect any heartbeat or any vibration, you just stay there. For those who are new, you are still not sensitive, then you just relax every part. Feel and relax, like you feel your forehead and relax your forehead. You feel your heart area and relax that. Then you move it on to your stomach, feel, relax, abdomen, feel, relax, buttock, feel, relax, then your leg, feel, relax. Then you can reverse the whole mind sweeping method from your leg to buttock, feel, relax. Abdomen, do the same, feel, relax, stomach, feel, relax, then your heart area. Then you move it up to your shoulder, hand, relax, back to shoulder, neck, facial muscle, eye muscle, forehead. By now you should be more calm and more peaceful. Then you maintain attention at your nostril there. You just silence everything and feel your breathing. Yeah? This is the second skillful mean to train your mind in mindfulness. We will develop anapanasati. Anapanasati is mindfulness of the in and out breath. Anapana is in and out breath. Sati is mindfulness. So anapanasati is mindfulness of this in and out breath. So we follow the instruction as given by the Buddha. The moment you detect your breathing, breathing in, the mind is aware. Breathing out, the mind is aware. So maintain this training. For those who are not familiar, initially maybe a bit difficult. The mind will wander off very fast. But maintain patience. You just continue to relax body and mind and maintain attention in front of nostril. Then every time you detect the breathing, the mind and the breath move as one. Breathing in, aware. Or you can follow the Thai tradition, breathing in bird, breathing out do, buddho, buddho, also can. So you just train this mind in this way. Every time the mind wanders off, patiently bring back your attention to your breathing. After a little while, anapanasati will stabilize. When it stabilizes, you become very calm, very peaceful. Then piti will arise. Piti is a spiritual joy, spiritual calmness, and spiritual rapture that can arise when the mind is trained, when the mind is in sati. Yeah. So you continue to train this mind until piti arises. Then you continue to relax into every stage of your meditation. When piti arises, you continue to relax into it, until it become more and more subtle, more and more subtle, more and more refined. Then finally, piti will transform into sukha. Sukha is spiritual bliss. Then from sukha, you continue to relax. It become very calm, very subtle, very quiet, very tranquil. Your mind will reach pasati. Pasati is the tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, the silent mind or the meditative mind. So when you can reach this stage of refinement, you are ready to develop the meditation. Yeah? So initially, I will give you instruction until here. Then in about 20 minutes, I will ring the bell. Yeah? Then after that, for those who want to continue to meditate, they can continue. For those who have enough, they can slowly, mindfully, after the bell, come out of the meditation. Yeah. Okay. For those who still want to meditate, you can continue. For those who have enough, slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner mindfulness that you have developed for as long as you can. This is the mind that is trained. The mind that is trained is very peaceful, very calm, very quiet, very tranquil. The one that has the spiritual faculty. The mind that is still heedless, is untrained. That one, the hindrances are still very active, very strong. And coming back to the meditation, in the form of meditation, you are here to develop the training of the mind, to develop the spiritual faculty, especially sati, mindfulness. And this mindfulness need to be stabilized until it becomes very, very stable within your sitting posture, standing posture, walking posture, lying down posture. So these are the four mind state that you are supposed to train yourself further as you come out of the formal meditation. So under Satipatthana Sutta, four foundation of mindfulness. The first foundation is Kaya Nupassana, mindfulness on the form, the Kaya, physical body. First category of practice is Anapanasati, that's why we did that. Is to train your mind to develop sati, mindfulness. The moment sati is established, then you have to move on the next category of cultivation they call mindfulness of the four posture. And the Buddha said standing, you're aware. Walking, you're aware. Sitting, you're aware. Lying down, you're aware. So when your four posture daily mindfulness is quite stable, then you can develop the third category of cultivation. The Buddha called it sati sampajana. Sati is mindfulness, sampajana is clear comprehension. So mindfulness and clear comprehension of all action, all movement, all activity to connect the four posture. This is the third category of practice. And this is the most important cultivation. This is the daily mindfulness that you have to develop. So as your mind develops the ability to calm itself down, to be aware, to be peaceful with it, you have to bring forth this mind state that you have trained into the daily life until it becomes a part of you. Throughout the day, most of the time, you are aware of all action, movement within the present moment. That is the real meditation, the ultimate meditation. And we call that the daily mindfulness. Mindfulness is clear comprehension of all action and all movement within the present moment. You can do that, your meditation will progress very fast. But to do that, your mind has to be trained. The sati or mindfulness has to be very stable. So just make a note of that. Then in order to help you develop further your meditation after you come out of the formal meditation, when you return to your own life, daily life, in the midst of working, environment, career, or in the household, at home, or when you are moving around, doing your daily chores. So meditation is to be done technically throughout the day, 24 hours, continuous. That's why you have the four support. First is relax into every stage of your meditation. Then when you relax, you maintain awareness. You don't go into concentration or sleepy state. To be aware is just in a relaxed state of awareness. with clarity, with attentiveness within your heart area. Aware. There is no concentration of any kind. It's just relaxed state of awareness. It's not a conditioned state. It's a free mind. So the awareness need to be stabilized. Just allow it to be. Even in anapanasati, just mindful. No need to focus, no need to concentrate. No need to go into one-pointedness or absorption. Initially, maybe for those who are new, they find it difficult. You can try them. You can develop some form of focusing, concentration, or absorption. It's up to you. But as you go through that process, you understand what they are. And you understand how your mind goes into calmness when you focus and concentrate, how the energy build up. Then remember the first support, relax into every stage. When you start to relax, the meditation takes effect. Then the concentration will lose its power. Then as you relax more and more, the mind enters the natural state of relax. Then it's just away. And after you have done that, when you come out of it, you try to maintain that continuity of mindfulness. That can be done on the daily life basis if you have a religious routine. Means every morning when you wake up, you develop the training, meditation, bowing, the puja. Then after that, share merit, transfer merits, the usual one. How long is up to you. Initially maybe 10 to 15 minutes, then 20 minutes, then 30 minutes. You don't have time, at least do 10 to 15 minutes. You realize if you do it every day, you will start to become more mindful. Especially the bowing. You got no time to meditate, you just bow. Then after that, before you sleep, find some time, 10, 15 minutes or 20 minutes. Then for those who are more diligent, like last night I used to do whatever, I wait till middle of the night, 12 a.m., sometimes 1 or 2 a.m. Then I like to come out and do my sitting, because that time very quiet, very peaceful. Then after that, when you wake up, the moment you wake up, you must be mindful, aware of your posture, aware of how you come out of the bed, all the action, all the movement, then how you walk, how you move. Initially, it's mindfulness within the house activity. Then as you do that, your body and mind become synchronized. You don't think so much like before. Before you have mindfulness, you think a lot. Because your thought precedes your action and speech. You think thought, your mental intention keep on arising. And as it arises, it conditions you to do things. But as you do things, you think some more. That's why you are never with the moment. This is what the Buddha meant by heedless. You think a lot. You are never with the moment in awareness, to be aware of what is going on. That's why you cannot see things as they are. And your mind state is very, very haphazard, disorder, heedless. So you have to reverse all this heedless state of mind back to heedful living by anchoring the mind to the kaya, to the moment. So all of your action and movement, body and mind as one, body and mind as one, as you walk, as you maintain your activity, even how you move into your washroom, how your hand go and turn on the doorknob, and how you push and how you move in, then how you close the back, then how you answer nature's call. Every action, every movement, maintain mindfulness. When you are mindful and aware, you don't think. Then your mind start to settle down. Your mind start to slow down. Your mind starts to like become different. Yeah. Then the awareness become more and more, more and more, more and more, more and more. Yeah. That's how you gradually transform. Then you realize your thinking become less and less, less and less, less and less. Then throughout the day you are having more and more clarity. Yeah. This is how you really develop the transformation of your mind, so that the daily mindfulness can fall into place. Yeah. If you cannot be mindful while you are at home, it's very difficult to be mindful when you are outside. Yeah. When you are outside, your six senses, they are fully engaged and they are very active, because you have to be aware of many, many things, especially when you are driving. Yeah. Or when you are in the midst of working, yeah? Or doing something. Yeah? Whereas at home, you got very little activity. Yeah? And you are within the confines of your home. No traffic, no outside disturbance and all those things. No pressure, nothing. You are at ease. Yeah? Unless your thought project, unless you create sankara, activity of mind that leads to order, restlessness, fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation. Otherwise you are very peaceful. Okay, that is what you need to know. Eh? So the real meditation is daily mindfulness. If the mindfulness that you have developed, stabilized, use it to cultivate noble eightfold path. The noble eightfold path is the meditation as taught by the Buddha. And within the noble eightfold path, you have the four foundations of mindfulness under samasati. So that is the key cultivation. Okay, now we will open up the second session. Second session is meditation reporting. You can report your meditation experience. Then you can follow up with any question that you want to ask with regards to your meditation, or any question with regards to the teaching that the Buddha taught. Yeah. And also how you can apply what you have learned here, yeah, together with the Buddha Dhamma, how to apply them in your daily life, how to help you understand life and overcome all of your suffering in life. Yeah. Okay. Anybody wants to report their meditation? Yeah. What about Henry? Yeah. You want to report your meditation? No. Huh? What about your wife? Can you all follow or not? First time? Can follow or not? Can, huh? Oh, very good. Okay.
Pradeep,
yes.
Nobody asked, can I ask a question?
Can, no problem.
I have been like practicing meditation before I sleep.
Yeah, very good.
So I wouldn't know that when I meditate and I went into like, I feel some vibration. And
very good.
I call and then I wake up.
Yeah, very good. Sadhu, that is very good. Because you have the awareness. You aware of your snoring as well. The moment you snore, only one sound. Understand now? That is, your mindfulness has already improved. I tell you, a lot of people go into the what they call snoring mode without them knowing. They snore until like the what, very loud, and yet they don't know what is going on. But the spouse at the side, what the hell is going on? You want to snore, you better go somewhere. But when you understand that snoring, you will be very clear on. Because the body, when it's tired, it will enter the what they call subconscious and the unconscious state. Means it will go to sleep. As it goes to sleep, this conscious mind will slowly drop into the subconscious than the unconscious, understand? So the moment you snore, it's actually going into the unconscious, understand? But because you have, like her case, she did meditation at night before she sleep, she trained her mind, then her mind is more or less quite different from before. Before, a lot of fear, a lot of worry, a lot of anxiety, a lot of thinking, a lot of wrong view, reaction and all that. But now, because of the Dhamma, she straightened her view, she understands. She is more peaceful most of the time, more calm, and hardly any disturbing thought, or negative thought, or wrong thought. Then she can meditate quite well. But the problem is at night, later day, end of the day, normally you are quite tired, physically. Then this body will try to rest. So when it try to rest, it will bring the conscious mind go into the subconscious and the unconscious. That's why as you go into the subconscious and the unconscious, the body will start to snore. Because of the windpipe and all those things. Naturally, because you don't actually, you are not aware. Then initially is you are not controlling it, understand? Like when you are doing anapanasati, most of the time you try to control, understand? That's why don't control. Let it breathe in, breathe out naturally. No resistance at all, just allow it to be. But some people, when they feel sleepy, they were told, pull a deep breath, understand? Then you try to pull a deep breath. Then some people start to regulate the breathing, understand? It's up to you. But the actual meditation is be natural. Allow the breathing to go on its own naturally. Then you only maintain mindfulness awareness. But for those who already quite advanced, sometimes they can regulate their breathing to help people, to send energy and all those things. Then all this you will come to understand on your own. Then when you have mindfulness, because that awareness, that true mind that you are aware of, is always there. So that's why it is very clear that any of the sense dog, upon contact, it will be aware. Understand? That's why the moment you go into the snoring, one sound, you're aware already. Understand? Means the awareness is there. You are not unconscious. You are not the normal human being who don't have mindfulness at all. The moment they sleep, they try to sleep, they force themselves to sleep. Or they're very tired, then they just lost awareness. Then the body just went into the unconscious. And then they start to snore until after a while, then the snoring stop or become more subtle. Then after that, they will sleep. Especially if you are a person who actually very heedless and seldom train your mind, you will have a lot of this snoring without knowing it. But for cultivator, it's the opposite. One sound. Then later on, remember, you just relax. Then allow this awareness to stabilize. Then later on, you don't have to sit like that. You just lie down. You are lying down in your bed. Then very easy. You lie down, you feel your heart area. Then that time very strange. By now you should be able to feel already. Your heartbeat, your vibration. Everywhere you locate your mind, you can feel them very clearly. Then when you can feel them, you just silence everything. Don't try to know. Just stay there. Allow it to be aware of the heartbeat. You will start to feel that it's slowly, it slows down by itself. Until like there is no more heartbeat. Still. Just stay like that. Then maintain the awareness for as long as you can. Then later on, you can go into your dream state. When this mundane mind starts to create subconscious dream, the moment it come out, the awareness is there. And you can see what type of thought, what type of dream is trying to create. Then you can follow. Then like, when you're aware, it drops back very fast. You're aware, it drops back very fast. When you're not aware, it creates, it comes up. That's not. Then you continue to relax into it. And after a while, very strange, the whole mind becomes very quiet, still. No activity, nothing. This is the space between thought, the silent. This is the true awareness, the true mind. It's just aware. No thought, nothing. Nobody inside there. You will realize that state. Then you will understand what anatta is. There is no being inside there. Without the egoic mind, without the thought, without the conscious mind, the center is not there. The center is your sakayadity, self-delusion. Attachment comes from the thought, the egoic mind. So without ignorance, you don't input the content that has this sakayadity, then there is no thought. Then that so-called pure awareness is just aware. There is nobody inside there, nothing. Then it can actually continue. Then one day when your wisdom is already very stable, you will go through cessation. That is the realization of Nibbana. Initially it's one glimpse, then later on it stabilizes, then you can go into it. When you go into it, the form and mind will know. Then completely, no breathing, nothing. Everything stops. Consciousness, everything stops. Then the form and mind also says, that time I sadhu you, rejoice. That time you already at least the first stage of sainthood, sutapan. You already an arya. Then you will know. The being that go through that will know. The form and mind will know. That fine aggregate of form and mind, the so-called human being will know. You will understand all this. Then after that, when people tell you, you die already, what, you just laugh, because there is no such thing. Understand? Nothing die. That true mind cannot die. That nature cannot die. What die is consciousness, the mundane mind, separate from this form. When it separate, there is no more condition to maintain this so-called human being, the five aggregate of form and mind. And then they say this one died. But this one is not you. This one is karmically conditioned out for us to use to come to this world, to experience life, to experience all of the beauties and wonders of life. But if you come without wisdom, if you come with all the delusion, the ignorance, then this form of mind goes through life without understanding. It gets itself afflicted by the reality of life and existence, the first noble truth reality. So when it entangles itself that way, this form of mind develops suffering, develops afflictions, develops misery. That's why it has fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation. Because this mind that is deluded, the conditioned arising mind, this one got a center, atta, the ego. And the ego is the one that actually deludes you into believing that this body is you. That's why you worry about it getting old, getting sick and die. Then it deludes you into believing that there is a person inside there. You look at the whiteboard. Is there a thought behind the thinker? You will think that there is a person behind the thought. Without a person, how can you think? You always have this logic. Then you believe that you are real because you can create thought. Then you can feel. You can perceive. You can become conscious of things. Then you can arise activity of mind. You can have views, opinion. You can do many things. So to you, this form of mind is very real. How can it not be me? But when you meditate, when you silent, when you silent your mind more and more, then you will come to understand that there is actually nobody inside there. He know you, he know me. Then actually, thought itself is respond to memory. The thought thing itself, There is no thinker behind the thought. And thought come about through respond to accumulated memory. That's why the beginning of registration is the beginning of thought. When the baby is born, there is no thought. But the memory is blank. But when you start to teach that baby, Papa, Mama, then they learn. Then you say, this is sweet, this is sour, this is what. Then they learn. Then they accumulate into memory. They register all this. Register, memory. Then through memory, they also create words, create thought, like what you taught them. Then when these things start, they forgot about their true mind. They start to use this thought, this memory, this conditioning to live life. That's how you are conditioned into what you are. And through this delusion, you continue to be trapped in this civilization, this world. That's why you must meditate, silence your mind to return to that state when you are born. When you're just aware. But you cannot, because your memory is already there. Your accumulated views, opinion, conditioning, all your accumulated fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation, your scars of memory, your happy and unhappy moment, they are all accumulated, registered up there through memory. So actually, each and every human being, you are only a bundle of memories, understand? With the views and opinion, and that condition you into what you believe you are. Then when you are born, they give you a name. That's why you associate with that name. You cling, you attach, you grasp. Then you believe you are that. Understand? Just like this form in my physical body. You call me Brother Teo. Then when I was born, they give me a birth cert. Sadhu. Thank you. Sadhu. They gave me a name, Teo something. So if I gullibly, as I grew up, I identify myself with this name, Manasana. Then being born in a Chinese family, I call myself a Chinese, Manasana. Then being a Buddhist tradition, I call myself a Buddhist. Then as I grew up, I become a child. Then I become a student. Then I become a youth, Manasana. Then I start to work. Then I become a career person. Then as I work, I again continue to become maybe a career person. Then finally you become an adult, okay? Then you settle down, you get married, you have children. Or if you choose not to be married, also same. As an adult, you will go through life. Then you will become more and more successful if you happen to have that good parami. But if you don't have, then you grow old. As you grow old, you start to age. Then you realize your senses start to fail you. Then you start to develop sickness, disease. Then you start to become afflicted, miserable. This is what life is all about. Without wisdom, without understanding, you will attach, you will cling, you will worry about this form of mind. That's why you need this type of teaching, this type of meditation to actually awaken you so that you are not deluded by all this, by what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile feel and think. All these are consciousness. And the Buddha said they are like magicians, they create magic. Or illusionist. They create illusion for you to see, but you think they are real. Then you grasp and you cling and you hold. So that is how living beings get themselves entangled. That's how suffering comes to be. Through your delusion, you grasp, you cling, you hold, you attach. So all this, as you go through the teaching, as you develop the reflection, contemplation, the meditation, you will start to understand. So for your case, Alicia, very good, sadhu to you. You continue to relax, remember the four supports, then maintain awareness, Then when you want to fall into the sleeping state, you will know like what happened to you. Just one sound, sometimes half of it only, before it finish, just that, you're aware already. Then you're silent. Then you continue to relax further into it and maintain that silence. Then see how long it can last. If you're already tired, need to sleep, you just sleep. But when you go to sleep, very easy. Like now you understand, huh? No need to deep. Yeah, you just go to sleep. You no need sleeping pill or anything. Last time all the medication, before she came, 1.5 years ago, she was in deep depression for many years, dependent on the doctor's, psychiatrist, medication and all those things. And suffering like anything. A lot of what they call self-inflicted suffering through wrong thought, not understanding. So later on when she comes, the moment she starts to listen to the Four Noble Truths, when she starts to realize that all the suffering she goes through was actually born of her own delusion, that she don't understand, and she don't know that there is such a teaching. Then when she heard about it, she keep on smiling. No wonder I get into this trouble. Then I always tell her, I say, your life, you decide how you want to live. Understand or not? Each and every one of us, we have our own life destiny. Right? We have a choice. Right? So, to be happy or to be miserable, is your choice. Right? If you choose to be happy, how can you be miserable? Unless you are deluded. Unless you don't understand. But how come this world full of miserable people? Cannot be they don't know how to choose. It's because they don't understand. So because they don't understand, they don't have a choice. They don't know how to choose because they don't have a choice. But when they understand, nobody choose to become miserable. Right? Everybody want to be happy. Right? Then because she understand already, we are based on the Four Noble Truths. The first Noble Truth, the Buddha explained clearly what suffering is. And she saw all the eight suffering. Everything that is described there afflicted her before. Then later on, when we come to the second Noble Truth, we come to understand that there is a cause behind all suffering, all misery. It's because of your delusion, sakadity, self-delusion, that condition you to attach and cling and to hold on to this five aggregate of form and mind. Initially is the physical body, then later is your feeling, then later is everything that you perceive, your loved one, your possession, everything, your reputation, then later on is your views and your opinion of things, then what you become conscious of. So this five things, when you grasp and cling and hold without wisdom, then you get deluded by it. Then it can cause you misery, suffering. Then through that delusion, your life becomes afflicted. Then when she starts to see all this, she starts to smile. Then she realized, actually, yeah, this form of mind is for me to use, understand, to live life, to experience all of the beauty and wonders of life, but I use it wrongly, understand. She used it to become miserable, so she used the body instead of using it to perform the function of his daily life and be appreciative of every part that is still working. She developed fear, worry, anxiety over it, worry about it getting old, getting sick and die. So every time things didn't go her way, she become afflicted. Then the thought is the worst. Instead of using it as a tool to live life, to arise the appropriate right thought, beautiful thought, wholesome thought, that will lead to all the good life. Thoughts that are appropriate, that has wisdom, that brings about harmony, brings about love, compassion, appreciation, contentment, sincerity, honesty, joy. So all these are right thought, wholesome thought. But instead, she go and project her thought. She go and worry about life. Then she go and think of the unhappy past, the scars of memory. So he used thought wrongly, means to arise all of the fear, worry, and anxiety born of thoughts projection. Means you cannot see thought. You cannot see the danger of thought, how thought divide, how thought project and create all this wrong thought that condition your fear, worry, anxiety, suffering, misery, or you cannot see. So it's like a tool, T-O-O-L. If this thought is like a knife for you to use, you will use it appropriately, like cut fruit, cut vegetable, shape things, carving all those things. Then this knife, which is a tool for you to use, you understand the purpose, you use it appropriately. But what happens if you use it to cut yourself, harm yourself, hurt yourself, and hit out at others? That is delusion, isn't it? That is the wrong way to use that tool, isn't it? But when you use your thought, you cannot see, you know. It's actually you are using that thought as a knife to hurt yourself, harm yourself, hit out at others, hurt others and harm others, and create suffering everywhere. But in the form of thought, you cannot see, you know, because you didn't see the blood come out, you see. You didn't really have that type of pain. Because these are mental, understand? When you use thought wrongly, is you arise a wrong thought. What are wrong thought? Thought that condition your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your sorrow, your lamentation that make you miserable. Your selfishness, your emotional negativity, your insecurity. All these are wrong thoughts. And if you continue to use thought this way, you will definitely become miserable. You will enter depression. You become seriously depressed. Depression people always think of the same thing, like a tape recorder. Keep on repeating, 24 hours repeating non-stop. That fear, that phobia, that depression thought, keep on repeating. You go and talk to them, they will keep on telling you. Repeat and repeat and repeat. And they can never stop and agree with you that it's not the problem. Forget about it, they cannot. Because you say, this guy did this to me. So you register through your brain. Then you get angry. Especially those who like got relationship problems. They hate their spouse, who actually wanted to divorce them or jail them. Then sometimes it's children, understand? Then sometimes it's boyfriend, girlfriend. Then sometimes it's career, understand? Then sometimes it's health. When the doctor tell you, like today, I received an SMS from one of my classmates. He said, one of our classmates in the uni admitted to Sly Young Hospital. Actually, he was admitted to Subang Medical. He's supposed to do a colonoscopy, just a scope. He thought nothing. The result came out very bad. 4th stage cancer, colon cancer. So they transfer him to Sly Young because Sly Young cheaper. Subang is very expensive. So he's now there already, I think a week. So just imagine, about my age, 60. Suddenly with this, and with a wife, luckily no children. Then just now, about 6 something, my last time school teacher, physics teacher, Brother Kang. Mr. Kang, I call him Mr. Kang, but now we call him Brother Kang. He called me up. He said, "Yo, my nephew just passed away, 53 years old." I said, "What happened? Is it sickness or accident?" He said, "Sickness. He got pneumonia. He got heart problem. 53 years old. He got a wife and a few children. Most of the children are still primary school." So he asked me, "What must I do?" Again, the same question. I said, "You already know the Dhamma. You do what you have to do. Understand not? Whatever you can do, you just do to help out." Oh, he said, "Okay." He said, "The other brother, sister, and the relative financially they can help to take care, no problem. He said, it's only the funeral. He said, must I do advise them to do it the Buddhist way or what? See, the thought again created. I say, it's not your funeral. You better ask them, the children and the wife. If they are not in the mood to talk about it, then you advise them. Make it simple, understand? Like the Buddha said, whatever is of the nature to be born is of the nature to die. Understand? What has been born has already passed. So no amount of sorrow and lamentation can bring back the dead. So make it simple. Then he said, how can I help? The standard question, how can I help? What you think? I say, when he alive also, you didn't help. When he alive, even when you advise him, he also don't want to do. He is a traditional Buddhist, Paisin, don't have much Dhamma. So, each and every one, like the Buddha said, they are born of their karma, head to their karma condition is supported by their karma. They are what they are because of their karma, correct or not? So now, when they alive also you cannot help, pass away you want to help. How can you help? Oh, I can read it, metta. Understand that one? I say, you can do all those things. Understand? I can do chanting. What is your purpose? I want to help. So what do you think? What do you think? What do you think? Got logic in there. What do you think? Yun Chan. Yun Chan think very deeply. Pass the mic. We share, don't worry. We just share. So that you all know what to do later on to help people.
He asked for advice. How he can help the survive, not the dead, right?
The dead? He's talking about the dead. At first I thought the family member, I said, that one you talk to them, the children especially. You off it first, you off it first. We have this one. So I finish this part, then you continue. I said, is the children very simple, isn't it? I said, you just talk to them. Now Papa no more gone. You have to really, really understand the situation is quite bad. So you have to listen to your mom, understand? Yeah, she is the only one now left behind to look after you all, to care for you all, to provide for you all. If you all some more sang sing, naughty, then your life, your future will be very, very bad and very easily become afflicted. So you need the whole support of your brother, sister, together with your mom to pull through all this, what they call critical phase of your life, so that we can, on our part, play our role to help you all, but you all need to be strong, understand? Especially the wife, understand? Because all your children depend on you. If you also break down, the whole family is gone, understand? So that's why I advise him. He said, no, it's about the date. How can I help the date? That's why now, this is the question you want to ask, Yun Chan. At first, I also thought like Yun Chan, the alive.
You help the people who are alive, right? He's already dead. What to you? How to help the dead?
That's why I told him, I said, when he alive also, you didn't do anything. Die already, you want to help. But he asked me a very, very good question, you all. He said, then why we invite monk to come and do the chanting? He said, then why Buddhist radiate love and metta? How you answer him? How you answer him? Hui Yong, let her have the mic. Ni Chang.
I认为安慰活着的人的成分比较大，
对，
因为
那样子做让他们觉得我已经帮助他、
yeah.
往西方极乐世界了、
yeah.
虽然事实上是必须靠他自己
对、
不过大部分的人认为不做心里不安
对Father So according to her I translate a bit 安慰 is to console to make them feel good So it's more to console those who are still alive at least they have done their part they have invited the monk to do the chanting they have done what is to be done and all those things but I told him one thing I said to tell you the truth the reality is he is born of his karma here to his karma conditions whatever he got and he is what he is because of his karma dead already it's more for the living to him maybe rebirth consciousness already gone then the random of consciousness that come out don't understand but you can talk to that consciousness it's quite helpful you have already passed away so don't worry don't develop any more further unhappiness or fear or worry about your children your wife or we will help to take care this is helpful at least that so called random of consciousness that come out he can just go in peace then you can radiate love and metta if you want but that one is not him understand that one is a random of consciousness that come out so when you understand all this all the chanting is the vibration at that time during the funeral to make people have the confidence the peace that you have done something so just like what Hui Rong said is to console the living so what is more important is you must understand no condition don't try to do anything otherwise you create more sankhara more suffering but the world is full of misery people why only your nephew only you so concerned you want to help other people there is attachment so if there is condition then you manifest and you do the appropriate thing what you can do is you can actually invoke power of merits maybe advise the wife and the children from the whatever money they receive through the funeral pakkam and all those things use it wisely appropriately if there is surplus do it for the benefit of the husband or the father so you can donate to appropriate organization in memory of him then transfer merit and share merit then you can invite the monks offer the dana then they do all the chanting then you invoke power of merit and you rejoice then after that you transfer merit and these are more tangible whereas in the Theravada Sutta the Buddha got mentioned all this you make offering to the Sangha and all these people who are worthy of offering then you transfer merit is more effective then you invoke power of merit by this power of this wholesomeness may arise the causes and conditions for him to have a better rebirth so that in the future they can have better understanding of what the teaching is so that they can also meet out with the triple jam then cultivate progress and one day have the condition to understand this teaching and to have the good life and this is tangible this is more meaningful otherwise it's just the thought must I do this must I do that how can I help who help the thought want to help not easy you have to have wisdom to help understanding okay Yun Chan you want to say something
I thought to tell about the share about the story
good
this the Ma family
yes.
when he invited a group of monks from Thailand over he was sick they chanted for him then I think maybe about some while later say about what 2 weeks later the family invited Ajahn Anand and the whole group and that's when he died So he died, and so as another monk, he came and he chanted during his funeral, during his wake. Then later, this Ajahnan, he's psychic, so he went and told, he told the story to another monk, Nanyadamo, and Nanyadamo revealed it to the others, said that, oh, he saw this during the wake, the spirit actually was around, and he said he's very happy. Why are all these people so sad?
Yeah,
why are they so sad?
Yeah.
I'm very happy.
Yeah.
but then he goes around seeing all his loved ones, but they're all very sad.
Correct. That's why a lot of people don't understand. Good. Thanks for the
So he got into a very good plane and was very happy.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Not necessarily everybody dies and they're sad. Okay.
Not only that, because this person have faith in the Dharma and the Sangha, Triple Gem. So like you just say, the Ma family, they've been listening to all this Dhamma thing, understand not? So when you have the Dhamma, when you pass away, with that understanding, you are very beautiful one. Yes, you know why. When the consciousness is out, you know what happened or not? It's a relief, you know. Because this form actually is the karmic body. This one is the one that come and ask for your debt. You have to pay back your karma through this form. That's why this one, the DNA, everything is coated. This one can make you miserable. attached through delusion. All that. But when you are out, your consciousness is at least 10 times more powerful. Then there is no form inside there to make you miserable. You are like the deva. Very good health. But no physical body to have the rheumatism, the this one not working, that one not. Don't have. But all the senses is still with you. Because when I young, I came out before. That's how I know. You can still see. That's why you can say, why everybody so sad? Because he is so happy. Understand? Then sometimes they immediately take rebirth, spontaneous. They become devas. And they can actually see and understand what happened. It's only that moment. Understand? But this one that came out is a random of consciousness. Understand? And this one, if he has the Dhamma, there is no sorrow. But initially, there could be like, he doesn't know that he died. Understand? Then he tried to call people. Nobody can see him. Nobody can answer to him. But those who have the Buddhist understanding, they will know. They really die. Then like those who have psychic Ajahnan, they can see. Not only Ajahnan, even many people can see. If you have the, what they call, from the past, even our end also can see. You don't have to go too far. But her one is different. Her one got condition, they come out. It's not the psychic that purposely want to go and see. It's like seeing television. Every day so many shows. Why you want to see? See for what? So it's just sankara. But there are people who are gifted. I know of one Buddhist friend from Singapore. Since he was born the day, he can see all these non-human. Then one lady also said, because their previous life was from the deva plane, they came now. And this deva, they are good friends last time. So they will contact you. So these are the two that I really know them, and they are the ones that really went through that type of life. Then they tell me all these things that happened. And in broad daylight, no only at night on. Understand? This is non-human. Not only at night only you see them. In broad daylight, you see them everywhere. And he can tell you, she can tell you. He also can tell you. There was one case, supposed to buy a neighbor's house. Another Dharma friend's neighbor's house. The husband just passed away. So already advised him on the price, everything. Go there, negotiate, and just conclude. So he took him over. When we took him over, he don't know what happened. No. He like freeze. No. Totally cannot talk. Then we even make an offer. He just sit down there, didn't want to do anything. Then after that, we came back. Then we asked, what happened? He said, how to make the offer? The husband still there. Say, warning you. You better don't buy it. You cannot buy it. So these are the people who can see. When he was young, the mother thought he crazy. He was playing with this non-human. Talking to them. The mother said, what are you doing? There's nobody there. She said, God, Ma. He said, my friend. Oh. That's why you won't understand until you confront all this. Until you meditate and your conscience can come out. Then you can see. Actually, the non-human are a lot more than the human. The human is nothing, actually. You look at the insect world, the amphibian. You look at all the ants, all this, what they call the one in your bedroom, the mice. I tell you, they are countless. And a lot of these are living beings. But their numbers are so much more than the human. Even the non-humans, they are so much more. It's only we think, oh, human being very great. But if you have the condition to see, you will know. But no point. You can see them, you think it's advantage. You already enough problem not seeing them. When you see them, you got more fear, more problem. Then a lot of these, sometimes they can be very, very violent. Then when you have this, what they call ability to see them, you tend to deviate from what you're supposed to do. Because you will fight with them, you will challenge them. There are people who do that. So it depends on how you understand all this. So, yes. Pass the mic to Joyce.
I probably would have said,
told
this story some time back. In the year 2008, that's when my father passed away. I think it's very related to what we are talking today. My relatives actually came and told me, because I'm their eldest daughter, how come your father is so well known in a small town? Normally, because my dad is a businessman, how come you never, you don't burn anything for him? No house, no car, no, you know, no television, no whatever. And I said, that's what my dad wants. I said, something simple. And we didn't even buy him a, normally you buy a place for him in the temple. So my dad, we didn't do that. So actually, quite a few of my relatives were very upset with me and my brother. And we kept telling them, no. And they actually came and told me, can I burn a house for your father? Or can I buy a car for your father? Because my dad is actually a very nice man. And he has helped a lot of people. So I think it's quite related to what So what we did was we said it's not necessary. So when the funeral was during the funeral, we took him for cremation, and then we took his ashes and whatever, and we just scattered in the sea. So actually, a lot of people are quite upset with us. So what I'm saying is that at that time in 2008, I haven't really come into Dharma yet. But I knew, I come from quite a Taoist family as well. But my dad is not a Taoist. My dad is quite open in terms of religion.
Quite open mind.
I think that's why it's much easier for us to carry out his wishes as the way he wants it. So I just want to say that so that there are people who come and tell you off, actually. During the funeral.
A lot.
But what we did was, what the brother said, at the end of it, the pakkam, we didn't sell the we actually donate the whole thing in the name of my father to the secondary Chinese school where my brother actually graduated from. anything.
Very good, very good, Father. Thank you so much for that good sharing. You see, especially Chinese, and I believe some of the Indian tradition too, or other religious, what they call devotees too, the influence from your parents, relative, especially those who are more senior, understand that. They call this traditional belief and practices. I tell you, they can be very serious and very, very powerful. Because it brings about the condition for me to explain my dad's funeral. Actually, like what we understood, my dad lived a very good life. He passed away at the age of about 80. He fulfilled everything that he wanted to do. He is a very good dad, very responsible. And he even went back to China to help the brothers, those people who are less fortunate, the relatives and all. Then he brought us up very well, provide us with everything that a father could have done. Then she did what she wants to do while he was alive. Then we also looked after him while he was alive. Then that year before he died, suddenly my nature sent something. So I organized a very special trip for that Chinese New Year. I organized for all my family members, brothers, sisters, their wife and their children all. So about 40 or 50 of us, we went for a trip to a resort area in Thailand, somewhere near there. I think I forgot that place. It's a very nice resort facing the sea. So we went for the New Year. At that time, my father was already quite weak on the wheelchair. But I saw him for the first time. He got so much joy and he was so happy. And he even tell my mother in front of me and my other brothers, he said, "This is life," he said. All the children, the grandchildren, the daughter-in-law, everything. Everybody is so happy. And facing the sea with the breeze, everything. So there was so much joy. Then we booked almost the whole hotel room. Then we had very good dinner. And we had a good time there. Then we came back. Then in July 28, my father passed away. New Year was about February. And when my father passed away, we know what to do. So we did very simple, but very nicely. So everybody was very happy. Yeah, my father fulfilled everything. Then friends come, colleagues come, business associates come, everybody come, my classmates also come, my good friend all come. Then we were all happily having our chat and all things. Then the usual thing at funeral. It doesn't look like a funeral, actually. Just like what Joyce went through. Then you know what happened? When my mother's relative, they came. One generation, two generation more senior. Oh, that is the beginning. They go and talk to my mother. It's just like what Joyce was told. Funeral doesn't look like a funeral. Nobody cry on. No, all this, what they call mowing and all those things. Then he go and add in this word which is very bad. Oh, he said, "La de la, your husband should go down to hell," and he said, until my mother also starts to worry, start to cry, Then ask my brother they all to go and cry, And I said, "Oh, and more to show what feel a piety, and all those things." Then one of my brother came and talked to me, the youngest one. He said, "Mom crying, ask us to all more and cry." I said, "Don't worry." I said, "I'll go and talk to her." So I excused from my classmate. Then I went in. I saw my mother was crying. But my mother, trust me, crying like anything, and tell me what happened. Then I held her hand. I said, "Don't worry, come, we sit down. We sit down." I said, "What did you hear?" Oh, then he said, the relative. He said, every generation also like that. Do you don't move one? She was crying, sobbing, or anything. And then I held her hand. I said, okay, you have heard what they say. Now can you give me 5 minutes? You listen to what I tell you. And then you decide. Then you know what I tell her. Do you know what is filial piety? You know? When that is alive, with the understanding, with the gratitude, with the appreciation, we took him around, we care for him, we provide for him, we actually took him for all those, what they call, very memorial type of food and even tour and all of that. And this is really filial piety, you know. So then I told her, you remember before, just the recent Chinese New Year, when we were at that resort, what did that tell you? He said he was the most happy. Oh, then suddenly she stopped crying. He said, yeah. He said, he was very happy at that time. He said, I said, that is filial piety. Die already, only cry and more, you think that is filial piety. Then she started to look at me. She started to smile. But they say like that, you know, must burn this, must burn that. You know. I say, that brings about a second point, very good one. You believe feng shui, you know, I say. We got 9 brothers and sisters, I say. All you give birth one. Same parents, same location, everything same. But how come everyone different? No? I say. Some very tall, some very short, some very hairy, some no hair. Some very smart in education, some totally cannot study. Some very spiritual, most of them totally non-spiritual. I say, how you explain? You think feng shui? I say, grandpa, grandma, feng shui, same, no? All same, all should be same. Isn't it? But how come everyone different? Oh, then he looked at me. I say, because of karma. I say, oh, different karma, different. That's why you see me different, everyone different. Then he say, I say, you look at our family. Everybody is so successful, so happy. Means what we do is correct. You want to follow them? Those relatives, because I also know a bit of their history. My mother used to tell me, their children, their son, don't have proper job, don't have proper career, and do all those pin monono. Then they're in jail, police lock up, drugs, everything. I say, you want to follow them? You want to follow them, you go and mola. You go and burn all this. And then you end up, all the family members all like them. Then my mother looked at me. You know. Oh yeah, I said, okay, follow Buddhist. Do the no. It becomes like that. You know. Because the pressure on her is so strong. You know. That's why you all have to be careful. If you don't have the number, you are very easily influenced by them. Understand? You know? So when you understand, you can explain to them. The number is very simple. You know. So I say, you follow me so many years, you know, isn't it? How is my life? I like very lucky one, isn't it? Everything go my way, isn't it? Why don't you listen to what I tell you and just develop the understanding and live? Then he liked my 2 children. Yeah, he helped me to look after my 2 children. Then my daughter also there. I said, you burn all those car, all those handphone, everything. Then you might as well burn a check. I say, 100 million. Then he received. He said like that, no need to do good already, understand? Huh? Then I said, even your granddaughter, I told him about my daughter, that he worked in a telco company. He asked me, he said, Daddy, Daddy, why they burn handphone? You think down there got SIM card? Got network? This is all delusion, isn't it? Correct? Huh? Then my mother started to laugh, started to become happy again. Then I say, you don't worry. You want to burn paper house, I let you decide. I say, you are my mom. But I can tell you, burn or don't burn also no different. It's the filial piety when he is alive. And it's what we have done for him. Like all the pakam, everything we donate. Understand? And we do whatever that we can for our parents because we have gratitude. They give us life. They provide for us, they care for us, they sacrifice for us, they did so much thing for us, understand? Not? There is no way to repay your parent, understand? Not? The Buddha said, even in one of the Mahayana suttas, even you carry your parents on your shoulder, for don't know how long. Yet you cannot repay them for what they have done for you. You know what is the only way to repay them? Yeah? It's in the sutta, no? To bring them to the Dhamma. And so, that's why Ho Yong doing very hard. You can only bring them to the Dhamma. That is the best way to repay them. And you more than repay them. That's why, because of my understanding, I can easily do it on. Because I knew why I choose them as my parent. Because in the past, they have done certain things for my nature without them knowing. They don't know who I am. Then they did something. Then I rejoice. Then I just send the pure wish. Because to help them is very simple. They only have to become my parent one life. Where they are simple people. Genuine people. And if they are my parent for one life, their merits, their blessing, already taken care of everything. And my pure wish, their future all taken care. So I used to tell my mother and my father, I said, you don't worry. You all will have good life from now onward. Understand? Because that type of motherly love and fatherly love, and they are very simple people, very sincere people. So if they can raise me, provide for me, sacrifice for me, that marriage is fantastic. Understand? Then because we are cultivator, understand? We are different. So because of that, when I invoke the power of marriage, by the power of that wholesomeness, that they have actually a reason, may it arise the causes and conditions for them to realize their good and noble wishes soon as possible. Then my mother, like you best, I said, you aspire in future to have education, then to have the good condition to meet up with the Buddha Dhamma and the Sangha, then to cultivate and to become enlightened, free from all suffering. So in Hakka, very difficult to translate. I said, he only understand this word, Tiao Chu Ku Hoi, means Tiao Chu Ku Hai. You know what she replied? I already out of the suffering world because I came out from China. The moment he came out from China in the 50s, he said he's already out of suffering. See, they are so contented, understand? Because in China, really miserable, miserable. He said that eat also not enough. Oh. What about other things, is it? No need to talk about shelter, education, all this. He said food also not enough. Everybody was striving, suffering. So when he came over to Malaysia, she compared, she said, wow, it's really like heaven here. That's why she can sacrifice. She worked very hard, never complained on a bit. He said, here is already like in heaven, he said, out of suffering already. Understand? He said, our land here, very flat, very easy to plant. In China, he said, all on the mountain. He said, every day got to carry water. Then got the four seasons. It's very difficult, very tough condition, and very difficult to get water. You have to go far. He said, now pipe water, electricity. Oh, he said, this is already like, she's so contented and happy already. Then food is like abundant. Well, my father is a sundry shop owner. So we are quite comfortable actually. So because of that, you can see, if you have contentment, your life is full of joy and happiness. Actually, that type of life at that time is actually still quite poor. Except we don't have anything to worry about, the three meals. Food, shelter is not a problem. Education is not a problem. So in that sense, it's good. But it's a rural place. Outskirts of Alastair itself. And it's near to a like Tai Kong, like that, you know, to a gangster area, notorious area. So that's how we came up. So this is the part of sharing. If it can help you, you can actually apply when the situation demands it. Eh? So most of you, I think, your grandparents may not be around anymore. Eh? But if they are still around, you see what happened during funeral. Then it comes to our parents. Most of us, I think, our parents also one by one, no more. Except Hui Rong, still very lucky. Oh, your grandmother still around. Oh, very blessed. Oh, Yun Chan, your parents still around? No more already. That's why most of us, mine also no more around. Most of us no more around. Maybe someone still around. You are still young. You go. You can go. No problem. Anytime. Can go. No problem. You know how to go out. Okay. See you. Okay. So we got 3 more minutes. You got any more questions? Yes. Can. Ken, use the mic.
A so-called brother, very highly educated in the Dharma sense.
He said,
if you transfer merits, you not only a certain group of people in a certain realm can receive. So every year there is this transfer of merits to the late chief, you know. You think?
I think I know what your question is. Okay, you off it first. You see, a lot of this so-called teaching, if you are not careful, it can make you very rigid. But it doesn't mean that particular brother is not right. Well, we are not talking about right and wrong. Right and wrong is just relative. According to the sutta, we use the sutta first. Then I explain to you my understanding. According to the sutta, in a way, he is right because only people in that petarime can receive. When you transfer merits, there are 2 different meaning. One is transfer merit, like account. I transfer my money to you. You must have an account only I can transfer. That's why it must be related. Departed one. But if I give money, I don't need to transfer. I share merit, I don't need to transfer. I can share with you. I got food, I can share with you. I can give it to you. You don't have to have an account there. So when you talk about transfer merit, sharing merit, in that sense, yes, because only the beta rhyme, because it seems according to Theravada Sutta, down there, you cannot work, not like on the human rhyme. In the beta rhyme, you cannot have a career, you cannot plow in the, there is no plowing, no harvesting, nothing. Not like in our human rhyme, got land, you can go and plant, become farmer or fisherman, have your career, work in a factory, then nothing. Your only way of receiving merits is through transfer of merits from your departed relative who are alive. So that one, in a sense, is true. Asana. But human beings very familiar. They think merits, when you transfer, it can help people. So people go hospital, also they say we transfer merit, share merit. Share merit is okay. You transfer merit, if you know what to do, you radiate. You don't transfer. You just radiate. You radiate well-being and happiness to Chief Reverend. But they use the word transfer in inverted comma, like you share your merits, understand not? Or whatever wholesomeness that you have cultivated, or you rejoice with Chief Reverend's wholesomeness because he has helped you understood a lot of Dhamma, you have listened to a lot of his Dhamma talk, understand not? So you invoke the power of all these merits, and then by the power of this wholesomeness and merits, through your rejoicing and your whatever, you would like to share and transfer to all beings. Then you can invoke the causes and conditions for Chief Raven in whatever realm of existence he may be, to have the good karma to continue on his good work, good Dhamma Dutta work, to liberate more beings, to share the Dhamma, understand, and to do the thing that he like to do. Then also you can aspire for whatever wholesomeness and goodness that you want for Chief Raven to realize. So you can. That's why this is what they call you reap what you sow, because Chief Raven has done so much to help so many Buddhists. Even I myself benefited, because the first book I saw was his book, What Buddhists Believe, the first edition, the thin copy, the red color. The moment I read, I saw that what my mom did one was all Chinese traditional belief, nothing to do with the Dhamma. Oh, I was full of joy. Then when I read the Four Noble Truths, I straight away know, no need to search it, that's it. And that was in 1971. That's why I have a lot of gratitude towards Chief Raven, Kesari Dhammananda. Then I actually, 1 year, I think 1989, I approached him, I talked to him, and I thanked him. I said, with deep gratitude and respect, I like to thank you. I'm the product of your book. And he was full of joy, I remember. I saw he was full of joy. That's why he, later on, I think because he remembered me, I used to attend his talk. I used to record all his Friday talk and all the... I was in charge of the tape library in Brickfield Temple, 1986 onward. And he used to see me. Yeah. And he, full of joy, he know I'm really a very sincere cultivator. Then I used to bring my children and my wife to the temple. Then there was 1 year, I think also 89, if I'm not wrong, the novitiate program. My two children are under age. But he very strange, you know, he accepted them. And the two of them were so beautiful, and he loved them. Then when they took the photo, he put my son sit in front there, in front of him, kneel in front of him, with all the Sangha and the, all the novitiate program people. The photo you will see on the 19th October birthday. They have done it up so well. No? I was very surprised. No? They showed it to me last night. Oh no, Sunday night. You wait till that day to see, huh? No, I was very surprised. I thought normal PowerPoint. From the few photos that they have, they can get her and make it so nice. I also very surprised. You wait for that day to see. we better end. So that explained that thing. So you don't worry about what people say. That's why don't go and argue right and wrong. If your heart is sincere, sharing of merit and transfer of merit is only the word. Understand not? When I share, means you don't need account with it. I can just give it. But transfer money, you need account with it. Otherwise, how to transfer to you? Understand not? Account means like related lah or what lah. Then only you can open account. Understand not? So it's only how people understand it. So don't be rigid and don't be caught by the word. Then your argument become what? Right and wrong. That is not the purpose of the Dhamma. The Dhamma is to develop understanding. Then from there, use it for the good of the many. Not to want to be right and say, oh, you all do all wrong. Every year you transfer forward. Oh, like that. You're not only pouring to you. You don't develop understanding, isn't it? It end up what? So you try to apply noble eightfold path, understand? There's a right view leading to right thought, then arise the right speech, appropriate, gentle and pleasant speeches. So that people can feel your sincerity, your warmness. Even your understanding is very good. Yes, very good. Then you explain properly. Actually, based on the sutta, it's actually like that. But then, if you really want to do it properly, and then you add in the word sharing, or whatever, and then it will make it sound appropriate. So I don't go, you all do one all wrong. well, what are you all doing? He said, Tansu, you think Chief Reverend down there? Then it become what? Wrong speech, inappropriate speech. You are trying to put forward your point based on your views, opinion. Then you become egoic, understand? Then you start to say things. Why you all do like that? No, you must not do like that. Are they right and wrong, Gavin? Then it defeats the purpose of Dhamma. Dhamma is not about right and wrong. Dhamma is about the truth. The truth prevails, understand? When is the truth, it's absolute. It's not a relative truth, understand? It's the ultimate absolute truth, the reality. That's why this Friday I will give a talk on what is reality. They choose that topic themselves. And then I will explain all this. Clank. This Friday, Tiratana, NBC Center. Those who want to go, God, Sui An every time record. I think they will be recording the morning. Okay, we'll do the sharing of merits, transfer of merits, then we end. I was having a flu, very bad one, before I start. Now I can feel I almost heal already, recover. Still got the nose thing, but clear already, really. Thanks to you all. When the Dhamma come out, it heal. That's why now I feel light. Just now was block. When I started that time, I was having problem with block. And it was because of my bad habit. I was having Indian food, Indian curry food for the last 3-4 sessions until my whole throat here, the heat, the fever, then the cough. Now my cough also better already. Then the nose block, then headache. So normally if only flu, I rest one night, I recover. But if 3-4 things together, sometimes I got to go and see doctor. So I was prepared. Well, today holiday, no doctor. Tomorrow I supposed to see my classmate. But looks like now no need. I rest tonight, I recover already. So thank you. Okay, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So we have the sharing of merits with the devas. Akasata cha bhumatha Deva Naga Mahindika Punyantan Anumoditwa Chirang Rakkhantu Loka Sasana. May all beings inhabiting space and earth, devas and nagas of mighty power share these merits, and may they long protect the dispensation. Itta Vata Chamehi Sampadan Punya Sampadan Sape Deva Anumodantu Sabasambati Siddhya. May all beings share these merits which we have thus acquired, and may all devas rejoice, and may it contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. Transfer merits to the departed one. Idan me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idan me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idam me nyatina hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. See this part, I normally modify it a bit to answer Jennifer's question. Although it's transfer of merit, but when I transfer, it doesn't mean only to those who have account. Here the word transfer means to all those who can receive them also. Understand? That's why I always translate the English. I say, let these merits accrue to our departed relatives and all those who can receive them. Understand? If you got the condition to receive them, you will receive. You know how they receive or not? You only need to say sadhu. Understand? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. You rejoice, you receive already. Understand? Understand? That's what a lot of people don't know. You silence your mind and rejoice, you receive so much that you don't know. And they say, transfer merit cannot only that right. Where got that one? If you know how to rejoice, you receive. That's why I say for those who can receive. So may they all rejoice. So let this merit accrue to our departed relatives and all those who can receive them, and may they all to be well and happy always. Then we will do the invoking of the what they call. We invoke the blessing for our nation. Devo vasatkalena sasa sampati hetu cha pito bhavatu loko cha raja bhavatu dhammiko. May the rain fall in due season. May there be a rich and good harvest throughout. May the world be peaceful and prosperous always. May the government of the day, the king and the rulers be righteous. Okay, you make your aspiration. Imina punyang kamina mami bala samagamo satang samagamo otu yawa nivana patia. By the grace of these merits that we have thus acquired, may we never follow the foolish, but only the wise and the enlightened one until Nibbana is realized. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha and Kuan Yin Bodhisattva. Let me end.